When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi folks, Michael here, welcoming you back to another episode of Ghibli Attack. This is another break from the norm for us. You know how we like to grab any anime filmmaker who happens to be passing through town and speak about their work and their careers? Well, here's another one of those, a very special one, because out in cinemas this week in the UK is the film Blue Giant, the jazz anime that was released in Japan last year, and I had the chance to speak with director Yuzuru Tachikawa about the film and his career and so much more beyond that. Now, I realise that some of you may not have heard about Yuzuru Tachikawa before, so let's go through some of the headlines of his career. He's been working for some years now at places like Madhouse and elsewhere, working on series such as Bleach and Lupin the Third, Terror in Resonance, the series that was directed by Shinjiro Watanabe from 2014. He's also worked on his own series as lead director as well, Mob Psycho 100, Death Parade, Decadence, and then feature films as well, such as Death Billiards in 2013, and more recently, films in the Detective Conan franchise. He did Zero the Enforcer from 2018, and then last year he did Black Iron Submarine, which is the 26th film in the Detective Conan franchise. It's one that we don't really tend to get over here in the UK, but it's a huge deal in its own right. I think that Black Iron Submarine was third at the Japanese box office last year, a huge box office success. And of course, there's Blue Giant in the mix as well. A real achievement here is that Yuzuru Tachikawa has been nominated for 2 films at the Japan Academy Film Awards Best Animated Feature category. Both the Detective Conan movie and Blue Giant are in the category, up against a little film called Boy and the Heron, as well as Toto-chan, The Little Girl at the Window, and the latest film in the long-running Kitaro franchise. I have a feeling that a certain film may win in that category, but wow, what a great showing to have 2 feature films in that category at the same time. Now let's talk about Blue Giant. It's adapted from a long-running manga, which I've read and I really love, but then again, I am a jazz head. But let's have the synopsis for the film direct from distributors Anime Limited. Dai Miyamoto's life is turned upside down the day he discovers jazz. A former high school basketball player, Dai picks up a saxophone and begins practicing day and night, determined to become one of the greatest of all time. He leaves his sleepy hometown for the bustling nightclubs of Tokyo, but soon finds the life of a professional musician is not for the faint of heart. His passion eventually wins over the cocky but talented pianist Yukinori, and after Dai convinces his friend Shunji to learn the drums, they launch a new jazz trio whose rough sound contains a raw energy that quickly wins attention from local audiences. But what does it take to truly be great? What a question to put on the shoulders of one anime feature. But honestly, if Blue Giant is playing near you, I'd recommend checking it out, if only to hear the amazing soundtrack coming out of big cinema speakers. The score has been composed by Hiromi Uehara, who's a virtuoso jazz pianist who I've been listening to for some years now, and it's amazing to hear her music in this film. And beyond that, Blue Giant is quite a gem that captures youthful passion and that excitement and thrill of discovering an area of obsession and then finding the people who will help you, enable you through that obsession, playing together, performing together, honing your talents, practicing all the thrill of performances in this film. And it uses an interesting mix of different techniques within animation to capture the thrill of performance. Traditional 2D animation sitting side by side with CG techniques, rotoscoping, motion capture, the whole smorgasbord is in this film, trying to capture the subjective experience of performing and listening to music, but then almost the objective experience creating the 3D space that is the jazz club, the rehearsal space within which magic can happen. But really, that's enough from me. Let's hear now from Yuzuru Tachikawa. If you've not listened to one of our interview podcasts before, the way we edit this is almost BBC News style. You'll hear my question followed by a little snatch of the interviewee's response in Japanese, which will then fade out and be replaced by the translated English. So thank you to Bethan Jones for being our translator for this conversation. If you want to hear the whole conversation with the full Japanese intact, you can go all the way to the end of the episode. We'll put a little timestamp in the show notes and you can hear the full conversation there. But for now, let's go to my conversation with director Yuzuru Tachikawa. Mr. Tachikawa, thank you so much for speaking with me today. And also, congratulations. The news came in, I guess, this morning for us about the Japan Academy Film Prize, and you're doubly nominated for both Blue Giant and the Detective Conan movie. What was your reaction to that news when it came in?
It's
a huge honor. I never thought I'd be double nominated, so I was delighted to hear that. And the best thing is that it's going to mean a lot more people get the chance to see these films.
Absolutely. We are film fans on this podcast, and I'm always fascinated when speaking with people that work in animation about what the difference is between working on TV series versus working in feature animation within huge franchises like Detective Conan, or then a film like Blue Giant. How do these projects differ? How are they different?
There's
not much difference when you're approached with a project as a director, but if there is a manga, or if it's based on another work, then obviously you're trying to interpret that work and take the strengths of it. Whereas if you're working on an original project, you're working from scratch with your team. If it is based on a manga or something, then you and your team are, of course, entrusted with that story, and you have to take care to do it justice.
So please tell me about how Blue Giant came on your radar then. How were you first involved in the project? What were you excited to tackle with this project?
I'd
heard of the manga, but I hadn't read it. Until I was approached with this plan of turning it into a film. And then I read the manga. I read all 10 volumes in one go, in one day, because I really got into the story and the characters. And I thought that actually this would be suited to a TV series because of the length of it and because there are a lot of really interesting episodes and plot points along the way. And I thought it would be good to have that the length of a series to develop the characters. But the main reason for wanting to do it as a film was to let the audience experience the jazz performances with a cinema sound system.
Absolutely. And of course, we should shout out the soundtrack, which has also been acclaimed and been nominated for prizes as well. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I find it fascinating about, I've read the manga as well, and it doesn't start at the beginning of the manga. It chooses a point to start of moving to Tokyo. So at what point was that decided and why?
I
did think about having the first scenes in Sendai and then moving to Tokyo when I was writing it. But because the film isn't just about Dai, you've also got Yukinori, you've also got Tamada. And considering the length of the film, we needed to get to Tokyo pretty quickly, or there wouldn't be room for all those characters to grow. So it was decided fairly early on that that's what would happen. One of the things we struggled with at the beginning was how to portray the character of Dai, because as the protagonist of a film, we thought maybe he needed more conflict, maybe he needed more obstacles to overcome. But we figured that would make him a different character to the one that's portrayed in the manga. So we didn't do that in the end. But the scene at the beginning in Sendai in the snow, where he's practicing out in the snow in the cold, we thought would go some way towards showing what kind of determination he has and how solitary he is in pursuing that.
It's something I love about the film, you know, that's different from starting the manga at the beginning, is that you are presented with these so many different perspectives. Of course, you have Dai at the middle. He's so full of passion and raw talent. But then you also have the musical prodigy who's been playing piano since he was 5-6 years old. You have the drummer who only picks it up because he wants to hang out with some friends. But then you also have older characters as well, all the way down to the white-collar salaryman worker who just comes along because he was given a flyer, all experiencing jazz from different perspectives. I wonder, where do you land within all those characters? Are you the fierce, passionate one, or the one that's coming to jazz late in life?
初めて、この映画の話を受けた時は、ジャズは聞いたことあるぐらいで、全然詳しくはなかった
です。Not really heard much jazz at all. I didn't know anything about it until this project came along. So I suppose I would be more like the guy who gets given the flyer and goes along and then gets hooked. The first thing I did when I came on board with this project was start taking saxophone lessons, which I then continued for about 2 years altogether, because I didn't know how to get a sound out of a saxophone. I didn't know what happened if you press the different buttons. So that's where I started.
And so how good did you get at saxophone after 2 years?
例えば Let It Be とかは吹けるようになったんです
けど。For example, I can play Let It Be, but I can't play any of the pieces they play in Blue Giant.
Well, I'm a big Beatles fan, so that's more than enough for me. So you said that why you wanted to make this into a movie rather than TV series is because of those performance sequences. So how did you approach that sense of performance? I suppose we have the music from Hiromi Urahara as well. So what came first? How you were staging these performance sequences or the music that you wanted to stage them to?
一番先に、音楽を制作しました。
The overall direction was we started with the music, and then everything else was fitted to the music. None of us knew what Dai's sound would be like to start with, and there was also the fact that we wanted jazz lovers to love this film, and we also wanted to introduce jazz to people who didn't know anything about it. So there was some discussion there about what the music needed to sound like to achieve that.
And so what were the conversations you had with the team and maybe with Hiromi about how to find that sound, to find the performances?
特に、ダイのサックスの音に関しては、話し合いが行われました。
The discussion around Dai's sound was something that was particularly important, and we ended up deciding that rather than technique and phrasing, what was more important for him was the passion and the power of the sound.
なんで漫画の中にも、ダイが自分が吹いてるときはこう世界一だと思って吹いてるっていうことを言ってるんですけど、下手でも。
And in the manga, it says that Dai, even when he's playing by himself, believes that he is the best in the world. And so we wanted Dai to sound like, we wanted someone to play Dai who, even if the sound wasn't quite there, the feeling was there.
And looking at the credits for the film, there are so many different animation techniques that you use in the performances. Of course, there's more traditional techniques, CG techniques, motion capture, performance capture, rotoscoping, I think, in the credits I saw. Can you tell me how all these different techniques factored in and how you chose what technique to use for what moment?
まず、ライブ会場 は基本的に 3D で、空間を起こしています。
で The performance, the la- for, the, for the performances、we created the space in 3D、and so the instruments and the amps that are there are also 3D which has allowed us to change the camera angle and use、different camera work there、and because we were doing that、it was hard to then it would have been difficult to have 2D animated characters in that.So that's where the motion capture came in for the characters.
で、演奏シーンの中で、リアルな演奏は描きたいけれども、キャラクターの表情であったりとか。
We wanted the performances to feel real. So the bits where the acting is particularly important, like the characters' expressions, are where the rotoscope came into play. And then the 2D animation was for the more abstract parts. It's the sort of stuff that you can only really do with animation, where the instruments morph and the characters change size and there's quite an exaggerated expression. Particularly, we used the 2D animation for the solos. That's where the abstract animation came in. What I was trying to do was show what it is that the performers are seeing at that point.
So when you sit down to think about what a performer sees in their imagination when they're performing a solo, how do you dream of what that may look like? How do you hit on those visual moments?
ヒントになったのは演奏者たちの、その時考えていた気持ちであったりとか、まあ、キャラクターとしてこの
時 I got some clues from talking to the performers themselves, and asking themWhen they were performing as the character, what did they see? And then for other parts, it just came from listening over and over and imagining that I was performing it myself.
And that's something I think is very powerful about this film. I've listened to jazz since I was a teenager, but I wouldn't be able to start explaining what's good about it. The film does a really fantastic job sitting within that space of the jazz club, seeing what the players experience, but also...going through all of the spectators as well about what they experience. And I wonder, with this film, what is it that you wanted to communicate about jazz and music and performance in general?
自分は楽器経験がそんなになくて、まあ、小学校の頃ピアノを習っていたぐらい。
Well, I didn't have much experience of jazz when I started, working on this. I didn't have much musical experience. I'd played the piano for a while at primary school.I'd never played the drums, I'd never played the saxophone at that point, and I'd never been to a jazz club. But when I came on board as a director, as I say, the first thing I did was take some saxophone lessons, and I went to a lot of jazz clubs and sat in the front row and experienced the live performances. And until then, I'd thought of jazz really as something that played in cafes, slow, smooth jazz, you know, relaxing...But sitting in the front row, I experienced for the first time how passionate and moving the jazz can be. And, you know, I was really feeling the vibrations sitting there. And I think a lot of people in Japan don't have that experience of jazz. And I would like for them to discover the passion and the emotion of jazz.
Was there anything specific that you can remember...when you spoke with the musicians and with Hiromi, for example, that you learned from them that we may see in the film when you said you spoke with them about their relationship with their instrument, with their music?
まあ、特に参考になったのは、まあ、僕は楽譜の譜面も読むことはできないんですけど、難しい。
What was especially useful, because the music, the sheet music for the jazz is just too complicated and I can't understand it.Was they would add notes to the music for me to say how they were feeling at different points, like this bit, I was trying to support the piano or I was trying to help out the drum. That's reflected, I think, in the film. Also, things like that you have to change the wooden bit in the mouthpiece of the saxophone and.How a professional holds the instrument, and the same with the drums, actually, the drumsticks, that a beginner would grip the drumsticks really hard, whereas a pro would have a much softer grip. Those sort of movements and gestures are something that I picked up from them as well.
I think something so powerful about this film is that it does capture youthful obsession and passion when the world is your oyster and you love this this area of your life that may go on to define the rest of your life with your career. To take things all the way back, do you remember the point where you knew that animation was what something you would want to dedicate your life to? Was there a particular series or film that inspired it?
まず前半の方の話で、まあこの映画のすごく
Well, firstly, I think one of the strengths of this of the manga when I read it was that it's not just about jazz. There's a universality to it about that youthful energy, and when you find that thing, whether that's it could be baseball, it could be video games, it could be some hobby, but it's something I think that really resonates and that a lot of people can empathize with. And as well as when this film was released in Japan, as well as younger people watching it and enjoying it, I've also found that people of the older generation, men and women older than myself, have really enjoyed it because it reminds them of themselves when they were young and single-minded. In my own case, there was a time when I was preparing to go to university where I was thinking about what I wanted to do. And I chose to study film at university. And the starting point for that was Terminator 2.
What was it about that film that impressed you so much? I mean, I love that film.
当時の自分には、あの映画がどうやって作られているのかっていうのが全然見てても
らったなって。 I think it was because I couldn't fathom how it had been made. I mean, it was a great film and I loved it, but I started thinking, how did they make this? And I looked around and found a making of. And that was even more interesting in a way, now that I could see how they'd actually gone about making this. And maybe that's how it started. So I went to university to study live action film. And then somewhere along the way, I encountered animation. And this was fascinating, the fact that you could create something from nothing. Absolutely nothing, no form, no light, no shadow. And just with a pencil and paper, you could create something. And so I ended up switching to that.
To go back to animation, when you said that you saw this full potential of creating something out of nothing, were there any films that you were watching at the time or series that showed you the potential of animation that you can still remember?
At
university, a lot of the animation that we watched was art animation, so they weren't showing us things that we could see on TV or in the cinema. It was things that we would only get the opportunity to see at university.
Do you remember anything in particular? Because we love all types of animation on this podcast.
Yuri Norstein.
Oh, Norstein. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Incredible. Incredible work. Of course, the name of the podcast is Ghibli Attack, and it's always a bit embarrassing, but we do love asking people working animation about their relationship with the films of Studio Ghibli. Were you watching those films at the time? Did you have any relationship with them at all? Were you inspired by them?
はい、日本人で見てない人ほとんどいないんじゃないですかね。見てます、もちろん。
I think most Japanese people have watched Ghibli films. So yeah, of course, I've seen them. I am particularly fond of Nausicaa. I loved the manga and I was always hoping that it would be made into an anime.
なんか映画は漫画の1巻分ぐらいしかなくて、漫画は全7巻あるんですけど。
But the manga is, I think, 7 volumes long, and the film is just the one volume's worth. So I think it's a bit of a shame that there's only one volume that's been made into a film.
Purely by chance, I was watching Terror in Resonance very recently. Before I knew I was even speaking to you, and of course you worked on that series. Do you have any memories of working on that series and particularly working with Shinichiro Watanabe?
Oh, あの作品では、まあ、助監督を務めていて、で、渡辺さんは当時、
So I was assistant director and Watanabe-san was working on another project at the same time at Bones. So he was really busy. So I remember that I was also really busy. I got to do a lot on that.
そこで初めて仕事したんですけど、
That was the first time I'd worked with him, and I'd always had this image of him as being quite scary, but it turned out he was really nice. So I was reminded that you mustn't judge a book by its cover.
Absolutely, yes. I think over here fans have the picture of him with always with sunglasses on, very cool, unapproachable. But what? How does he work? Obviously, he was very busy when you were working with him. But how does he approach a project?
結構監督にもいろいろ言って、かなりこう何が何でも全部自分で。
There are different types of directors. There are those who want to do everything themselves, and there are those who want to bring the best, get the best out of their team. And Watanabe-san is the latter. He likes to make the most of the strengths of his team members and communicate and sees the value in everybody.
And so what type of director are you? Are you that latter type as well?
はい、そうです。
Yes.
Something that you mentioned about music as it being this alive performance with the piece of music and the audience being almost in conversation and communication. Of course, we're going to watch the film with an audience tonight, and I wondered what's it been like watching your films on the big screen with audiences? How do you find that experience?
やっぱり初めはですね、すごく緊張することが多いんですけれども、自分の作った映画がどういうふうにお客さんに受け入れて。
When I first started watching the film with audiences, I was really nervous. I didn't know how it was going to go down. It was quite nerve-wracking the first few times. But once I'd experienced that for a few times, I started really enjoying how the film would.Affect people and stay with them, and I was able to start enjoying the experience of sharing that with them.
And maybe this is another old nostalgic question, but it's very easy when you're young to feel passionate, but then it's even harder to stay passionate as we get older. How do you find inspiration nowadays? Is it from watching films, animation, live action? How do you find inspiration?
特にそういう意味だとすごく共感できるんですけど、僕は監督を引き受けるときに、何か次に。
Yeah, I can empathize with that. What I look for in new projects is always a new challenge. Although on the other hand, I find that there's no end to new challenges. There's always something new. So that's a bit of a dilemma.
And to finish with, this is a question we ask all our guests. Our podcast started with a recommendation. My friend Jake, who I host the podcast with, had never seen any films by Studio Ghibli, and that's where this podcast came from. I made him watch all of their films. And so we like to ask our guests, if you were to recommend one filmmaker or studio whose body of work we should watch, who would you recommend?
これ自分の作品でもいいんですか?
Can I choose my own work?
Oh, of course, absolutely. I mean, it's almost very much like Die in the film.
そうですね。じゃあ自分が初めてその、なんていうか、原作を持って。
I would really like people to watch Death Billiard and Death Parade, which are the first two projects that I worked on that weren't based on IP.
Absolutely. We'll go back and share that with our audience. Thank you so much for speaking with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile.From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out.My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Well, there you have it, folks. There was my conversation with director Yuzuru Tachikawa, whose film Blue Giant is now playing in UK cinemas. Thanks again to the teams at Anime Limited and Fetch Publicity for setting up that interview, and to Bethan Jones for her expert translation. It's always a pleasure working with Bethan on these interviews. We'll be back very soon with more episodes. If you want to keep up with what we're doing in the time being, you can find us on social media. We are Ghibliotech on Twitter and ghibliotech.pod on Instagram. You can also find us on Patreon at patreon.com/ghibliotech, where we have ad-free episodes, a Discord server, and a special podcast called The Library Cafe, which comes out every 2 weeks, which is me and Jake talking about all the things we're doing when we're not talking about the films of Studio Ghibli. That's where we talk about the games we're playing, the films we're watching, our adventures in the real world. We most recently talked about our recent viewing and our activity on Letterboxd. I've unveiled my special Letterboxd viewing challenge for 2024. Where I'm trying to watch a film from every year between 1939 and 2009 that I've never seen before. You can keep up with my progress over on the Library Cafe. But thank you so much for listening, folks. We'll be back soon. Mrs. Tachikawa, thank you so much for speaking with me today. And also, congratulations. The news came in, I guess, this morning for us about the Japan Academy Film Prize, and you're doubly nominated for both Blue Giant and the Detective Conan movie. What was your reaction to that news when it came in?
おめでとうございます。ちょうど今日、ジャパンアカデミーで、この作品もコナンもノミネートされているという話を伺いまして、素晴らしいなと思ったんですけど、どんな、ご感想ですか？
非常に光栄で、まさかダブルでいただけるなんて、心にも思ってなかったんで、発表が来てすごく嬉しいし、たくさんの人に、自分の作品を見てもらえる機会にもなると思っているので、それが一番嬉しいです。
It's a huge honor. I never thought I'd be double nominated, so I was delighted to hear that. And the best thing is that it's going to mean a lot more people get the chance to see these films.
Absolutely. We are film fans on this podcast, and I'm always fascinated when speaking with people that work in animation about what the difference is between working on TV series versus working in feature animation within huge franchises like Detective Conan or then a film like Blue Giant. How do these projects differ? How are they different?
そうですね、私たち、ジブリテックポッドキャストのみんながもう映画ファンで、もうこうやってアニメの監督の皆さんと話していると、非常に興味深いのはテレビアニメと長編アニメと その中でもこう、フランチャイズものとそして、IP ものとそしてもうブルージャイアントのような、独自のものはそれぞれどういう違いがあるのかなっていつも思うんです。
まあ、監督を引き受けるにあたって、大きな違いみたいなものはなくて、原作がある場合は原作のいいところを、自分なりに解釈して表現するっていうことだと思うんですけど、 オリジナルシリーズの場合は、原作がないので、自分と、他のスタッフと一緒に作品を作り上げていくっていう違いは、あるかと思います。ただ原作がある場合はもう原作を作り上げた方たちであったりとかその周りにいるスタッフが作り上げたものなのでそれを大事に監督を作業するっていう形になります。原作がある場合は原作とその周りにいるスタッフが作り上げた作品を預かるっていうことになりますのでその大事な要素を自分が殺さないようにしようって心がけています。
There's not much difference when you're approached with a project as a director, but if there is a manga or if it's based on another work, then obviously you're trying to interpret that work and take the strengths of it. Whereas if you're working on an original project, you're working from scratch with your team. If it is based on a manga or something, then you and your team are of course. Entrusted with that story, and you have to take care to do it justice.
So, please tell me about how Blue Giant came on your radar. Then, how were you first involved in the project? What were you excited to tackle with this project?
このじゃあ Blue Giant に関わるようになった経緯を教えていただければと思います。そしてもう初めてそのこの話が来てどういうところに惹かれたんですか。
もともと、漫画自体は、存在は知っていたんですけど読んだことはなくて、映画化したいということで、企画書を受け取り、そこで原作を初めて読みました。原作を読んだのは、10巻分を読んだんですけれども、物語とかキャラクターに引き込まれて、その日で全部読んだのをすごく覚えています。で、初めて原作を読んだ時は、テレビアニメーションに、向いてると、思っていました。その理由はまあ、長いエピソードですしいろんなところにこういい話が散りばめられていて、積み重ねて、大の成長キャラクターの成長を描いていくのが向いてるんじゃないかと思いました。ただ要望は、映画化を希望されているということで、その理由はいい音響システムで、ジャズの演奏を体感してほしいというのが一番の大きな理由でした。
I'd heard of the manga, but I hadn't read it.Until I was approached with this plan of turning it into a film. And then I read the manga. I read all 10 volumes in one go, in one day, because I really got into the story and the characters. And I thought that actually this would be suited to a TV series because of the length of it and because there are a lot of really interesting episodes and plot points along the way. And I thought it would be good to have that the length of a series to develop the characters.But the main reason for wanting to do it as a film was to let the audience experience the jazz performances with a cinema sound system.
Absolutely, and of course we should shout out the soundtrack, which has also been acclaimed and been nominated for prizes as well. We'll talk about that in a minute, but I find it fascinating about, I've read the manga as well, and it doesn't start at the beginning of the manga. It chooses a point to start of moving to Tokyo. So at what point was that decided and why?
そうですね、サントラもいろいろノミネートされていると思うし、その後でその話がしたいと思いますが、まず、おっしゃる通り、この映画は漫画のスタートポイントから始まるわけではなくて、途中からこう東京に引っ越すっていうところから始まるんですが、そこでスタートするっていうのはどの段階で決まりましたか。
まあ、脚本作業を進めていく中で、初めのシーンは、仙台でのエピソードを描いてそれから東京に行くっていうアイデアもあったんですけれども、やっぱり物語の主眼は、大だけではなくて、まあ、玉田と雪乃この3人のドラマであるっていうところから、映画の全体の尺からかなりスタートの時点で東京に来ないとその3人の成長が描けないっていうのはかなり初期の段階で分かりました。
I did think about having the first scenes in Sendai and then moving to Tokyo when I was writing it. But because the film isn't just about Dai, you've also got Yukinori, you've also got Tamada. And considering the length of the film, we needed to get to Tokyo pretty quickly or there wouldn't be room for all those characters to grow. So it was decided fairly early on that that's what would happen.
初めは、大のキャラクターをどう描くのかっていうのも結構試行錯誤があって、まあ、映画の主人公なのでもっと心の葛藤であったりとか壁を乗り越えるっていう、ドラマ部分を、大に足そうっていうアイデアもあったんですけれども、大のキャラクター性が、原作とかなり変わってしまいそうだったのでそれはなしになって、なんで映画の冒頭で描いてる仙台のシーンは、大の異常性っていうんですかね、雪が降っている寒い中でも、ひたすらサックスを練習するっていうキャラクター性、その孤独さを、描いているシーンになります。
One of the things, we struggled with at the beginning was how to portray the character of Dai, because as the protagonist of a film, we thought maybe he needed more conflict, more, maybe he needed more obstacles to overcome.But we figured that would make him a different character to the one that's portrayed in the manga. So we didn't do that in the end. But the scene at the beginning in Sendai in the snow, where he's practicing out in the snow in the cold, we thought would go some way towards showing what kind of determination he has and how solitary he is in pursuing that.
It's something I love about the film, you know, that's different from...starting the manga at the beginning is that you are presented with these so many different perspectives. Of course, you have Dai at the middle. He's so full of passion and raw talent. But then you also have the musical prodigy who's been playing piano since he was 5-6 years old. You have the drummer who only picks it up because he wants to hang out with some friends. But then you also have older characters as well, all the way down to the white-collar salaryman worker who just comes along because he was given a flyer, all experiencing jazz from different perspectives. I wonder, where do you land within all those characters? Are you the fierce, passionate one, or the one that's coming to jazz late in life?
でも漫画とスタートポイントが違うというのは一つの理由かもしれませんけれども、いろんな角度からジャズをこの映画の中では見てると思います、まあ、中心にこのパッションとか才能を持った大という人がいまして、もう 5,6 歳からピアノずっとやってる人もいまして、ドラマはもう友達と一緒にプレイしたくてドラミングをし始める人も いれば、そしてまあこうだいぶこうキャリアを積んできた人とか、チラシもらって初めてジャズを見に行くサラリーマンとか、いろんな人から見たジャズが、描かれていると思うんですが、監督は誰ですか？そのパッションの中心にいるパッションを持った人ですか？ジャズにこう大きくなってから知り合ったっていう人ですか？
初めて、この映画の話を受けた時は、ジャズは聞いたことあるぐらいで、全然詳しくはなかったです。なんで例えるなら、こうチラシをもらってジャズを聴きに行ってハマった客に近いかもしれません。映画を引き受けて一番初めにやったのは、サックスレッスンに通うことで約2年間ぐらい演奏し、サックスがどういう音が出るのか、どこを吹いたらどういう音が出るのかっていうのを勉強するところから始まりました。
Well, I'd not really heard much jazz at all. I didn't know anything about it until this project came along.So I suppose I would be more like the guy who gets given the flyer and goes along and then gets hooked. The first thing I did when I came on board with this project was start taking saxophone lessons, which I then continued for about 2 years altogether, because I didn't know how to get a sound out of a saxophone. I didn't know what happened if you press the different buttons. So that's where I started.
And so how good did you get at saxophone after 2 years?
2年経ってどれぐらい上達しましたか？
例えばレッド・イット・ビーとかは、吹けるようになったんですけれども、ブルージャイアントの難しいライブ曲は、全然できません。
For example, I can play Let It Be, but I can't play any of the pieces they play in Blue Giant.
Well, I'm a big Beatles fan, so that's more than enough for me.
素晴らしい。僕ビートルズ大好きです。
So you said that whyyou wanted to make this into a movie rather than TV series is because of those performance sequences. So how did you approach that sense of performance? I suppose we have the music from Hiromi Urahara as well. So what came first? How you were staging these performance sequences or the music that you wanted to stage them to?
テレビではなくて映画にしたかった理由がこのライブのシーンにあったという話ですけれども、 じゃあこうライブのシーンについて少しお話しいただければと思います。もちろんあの上原さんの音楽もあったと思うんですけど、どっちが先に来たんですか？音楽の方が先だったんですか？あのシーンがビジュアルが先だったんですか？
一番先に、音楽を制作しました。で、その後にその音楽に合わせて、各作業を始めていくっていう流れです。大きくは
The overall、direction was、we started with the music、and then everything else was fitted to the music、
うん。でまずダイが、どういうサックスの音を出すのかっていうのもまだ誰も聞いたことがない中 でかつ、ジャズ好きの人も映画を見てもらいたいし、ジャズに馴染みのない人も、映画を見てジャズを好きになってほしかったので、どういった曲にするべきなのかっていうのはみんなですごく悩みました。
none of us knew what Dai's sound would be like to start with、and there was also the fact that we wantedJazz lovers to love this film, and we also wanted to introduce jazz to people who didn't know anything about it. So there was some discussion there about what the music needed to sound like to achieve that.
And so, what were the conversations you had with the team and maybe with Hiromi about how to find that sound, to find the performances?
その音を見つかる上でどのような会話がスタッフ内またヒロミさんと行われたんですか？
特に、ダイのサックスの音に関しては、話し合いが行われました。で、特にこうテクニックとか、サックスのこのフレーズの多さとかよりはもっと厚く感情的に強い音を出すっていうのが全体の、まあ、共通認識として決まりました。
The discussion around Dai's sound was something that wasparticularly important, and we ended up deciding that rather than technique and phrasing, what was more important for him was the passion and the power of the sound.
なんで漫画の中にも、まあ、ダイがあと自分が吹いてるときはこう世界一だと思って吹いてるっていうことを言ってるんですけど、まあ、下手でも、音が少なくてもなんか強く感情が伝わる音を出せる人を探していました。
And in the mangaIt says that Dai, even when he's playing by himself, believes that he is the best in the world. And so we wanted Dai to sound like, we wanted someone to play Dai who, even if the sound wasn't quite there, the feeling was there.
Mm, yeah. And looking at the credits for the film, there are so many different...animation techniques that you use in the performances. Of course, there's more traditional techniques, CG techniques, motion capture, performance capture, rotoscoping, I think, in the credits I saw. Can you tell me how all these different techniques factored in and how you chose what technique to use for what moment?
エンドロールを見てると、いろんなテクニックを使われているようです。2D も 3D も、ロトスコープも、モーションキャプチャーも。その切り分けなどについて教えていただけますか？
まず、ライブ会場は基本的に 3D で、空間を起こしています。で、置いてある楽器であったりとかアンプであったりとか、その辺も 3D で起こして、自由にカメラアングルを変えてカメラワークもつけれるようにしてあります。で、アニメーションの技術として、3D のカメラワークが動いている最中にパース変化しながら楽器を演奏する作画を描くというのはかなり難易度が高いので、 3D のカメラワークがあるときはキャラクターは 3D でモーションキャプチャーを使っている場合が多いです。まずはそこまで。
The performance, for the performances, we created the space in 3D,、and so the instruments and the amps that are there are also 3D, which has allowed us to change the camera angle and use、different camera work there.、and because we were doing that,、it was hard to then, it would have been difficult to have 2Danimated characters in that. So that's where the motion capture came in for the characters.
で、演奏シーンの中で、リアルな演奏は描きたいけれども、キャラクターの表情であったりとか、そういった芝居にフォーカスしている場合はロトスコープを用いています。で、そういうロトスコープも、モーションキャプチャーも使わず作画している場合は、かなりこう抽象的な表現というかアニメーションならではの表現を追求しているかと。が多いです。例えば楽器が変形したりとか、 キャラクターが、大きさが変わったりとか、かなりこう抽象的に、表現をオーバーにしているカットが作画で行われています。
We wanted the performances to feel real, so the bits where the acting is particularly important, like the characters' expressions, are where the rotoscope came into play. And then the 2D animation was for the more abstract parts. It's the sort of stuff that you can only really do with animation, where the instruments morph and the characters change size, and there's quite an exaggerated expression.
Mm.
で特に、ジャズの特徴であるソロパートに、特にそういった抽象的な表現とかこう目指していたのはこう演奏者が演奏しているときにこうどんな景色を見ているかというのを表現するために、そういった手法を用いています。
Particularly, we use the 2D animation for the solos. That's where the abstract animation came in. What I was trying to do was show what it is that the performers are seeing at that point.
So when you sit down to think about how a performer, what a performer sees in their imagination when they're performing a solo, how do you dream of what that may look like? How do you hit on those visual moments?
それはじゃあどう思いついたんですか？この演奏者が何を見て演奏してるのかな？頭の中どうなってるのかな？ってどう想像するんですか？
ヒントになったのは演奏者たちの、その時考えていた気持ちであったりとか、まあ、キャラクターとしてこの時どう思って演奏してたのかっていうのを聞いたりもしました。で、そうではない、特殊な表現のところは、もう何度も聞いて、そのライブでソロを演じているのと同じように、その時の自分の感情で作業している部分が大きいです。
I got some clues from talking to the performers themselves, and asking themWhen they were performing as the character, what did they see? And then for other parts, it just came from listening over and over and imagining that I was performing it myself.
Yeah. And that's something I think is very powerful about this film. I've listened to jazz since I was a teenager, but I wouldn't be able to start explaining what's good about it. The film does a really fantastic job sitting within that space of the jazz club, seeing what the players...experience, but also going through all of the spectators as well about what they experience. And I wonder, with this film, what is it that you wanted to communicate about jazz and music and performance in general?
I はもう10代からジャズが好きですけど、なかなかその良さが説明できなくて、おじさんとかにもいくら上手くても練習してるように聞こえるとか言われたりして、この映画ってすごくよくいいのは、もうそのジャズクラブの中でプレイヤーが感じていること、経験していること、そしてお客さんがそれぞれ感じていることとかがもうよく伝わってくると思ったんですけど、監督はジャズについて、演奏について、音楽について何が言いたかったんですか？
自分は楽器経験がそんなになくて、まあ、小学校の頃ピアノを習っていたぐらい でドラムもやったことないし、サックスも初めは吹いたことがないっていう状態で、スタートしてます。それこそジャズクラブにライブを聴きに行くっていうこと自体も、その時点では経験がなかったです。で、先ほど映画が決まって、まあ、監督を引き受けるにあたってサックスレッスンをしたって言いましたけど、それ以外に、たくさんジャズクラブに通ってもう最前列でこうジャズを見るっていう経験をたくさん、させてもらいました。で当初自分は、原作で描かれているようにジャズはこうカフェとかで流れているゆったりとしたスムースジャズというか気持ちが良くなるものみたいな感覚だったんですけど、まあ、ジャズのライブを最前線で見たことで熱く、かなりこう振動が自分に伝わってくるような感情的な音楽であるってことをそこで初めて体験しました。なんで日本に世界に多くいるまだジャズを経験したことがない、視聴者にそういったジャズが感情的で熱い音楽だっていうことが少しでも伝われば嬉しいなと思ってます。
Well, I didn't have much experience of jazz when I started working on this. I didn't have much musical experience. I'd played the piano for a while at primary school. I'd never played the drums. I'd never played the saxophone at that point. And I'd never been to a jazz club. But when I came on board as a director, as I say, the first thing I did was take some saxophone lessons. And I went to a lot of jazz clubs and sat in the front row and experienced the live performances. And until then, I'd thought of jazz really as something that played in cafes, slow, smooth jazz, you know, relaxing. But sitting in the front row, I experienced for the first time how passionate and moving the jazz can be. And, you know, I was really feeling the vibrations sitting there. And I think a lot of people in Japan don't have that experience of jazz, and I would like for them to discover the passion and the emotion of jazz.
Mm. And was there anything specific that you can remember when you spoke with the musicians and with Hiromi, for example, that you learned from them that we may see in the film when you said you spoke with them about their relationship with their instrument, with their music?
Mm. Hiromi-san, yeah, その他の... ミュージシャンたちと話して学んだことで直接映画の中で出ていることはありますか？その人と楽器との関係とか
楽器との関係
でもいいし何でも
特に参考になったのは、僕は楽譜の譜面も読むことはできないんですけど難しすぎてジャズの譜面がそこの譜面に、印をつけてくれてここはこうピアニストを助けようと思ってたとかドラムを助けようと思ってたみたいな感情面を、教えてくれるのがすごく助かりました。作品に反映されているところだと思います。
What was especially useful、because the music, the sheet music for the jazz is just too complicated and I can't understand it, was they would add notes to the music for me to say how they were feeling at different points, like this bit I was trying to support the piano or I was trying to help out the drum、that's reflected I think in the film
それから、例えばサックスの扱い方マウスピースの、木の部分があるんですけどそこを変えるそのやり方であったりとか、こういうふうにするとプロっぽいっていう持ち方であったりとかドラムスティックもそうですね固く握るのが初心者で上級者は柔らかく持つとかそういった動作であったりとか所作みたいなものも、演奏者から聞いて学んでいます。
Also things like the、that you have to change the wooden bit in the mouthpiece of the saxophone and how a professional holds the instrument、mm. and the same with the drums actually, the drumsticks、that a beginner would grip the drumsticks really hard whereas a pro would have a much、softer grip.、those sort of movements and gestures are something that I picked up from them as well.、
Mm.I think something so powerful about this film is that it does capture youthful obsession and passion when the world is your oyster and you know you love this, this area of your life that may go on to define the rest of your life with your career. To take things all the way back, do you remember the point where you knew that animation was what's something you would want to dedicate your life to? Was there a particular series or film that inspired it?
この映画ですごいのは 若い情熱とか若者の夢中というのがすごい迫力のある形で伝わってくるんですけどもう一緒に若くてこれが大好きっていうその気持ちでそのこれがこれからこうキャリアになっていくかもしれないし自分の意思は捧げるものになってしまうかもしれませんが監督の場合はそれがアニメなんでしょうがそのこれだって思った瞬間とか映画とかテレビとかを見たのは覚えてますか？
まず前半の方の話で、この映画のすごく個人的に気に入っているところはジャズに限らず描いているものは何にでも応用が効くというか普遍的なことを描いているのが、すごく共感してて野球であったりゲームであったり、趣味のものでも自分の好きなものをこう突き詰めていく若いエネルギーっていうのが、すごく万人に、共感してもらえるすごく作品のいいところだなと思ってます。 まずそれを。
Well, firstly, I think one of the strengths of this of the manga when I read it was that it's not just about jazz.、うん、There's a universality to it about that youthful energy, and when you find that thing, whether that's it could be baseball, it could be video games, it could be some hobby, but it's something I think that really resonates and that a lot of people can empathize with.
それですごく日本でこの作品を見たファンは若い人もいるんですけど、かなり自分より年上のおじさまおばさまがすごく褒めてくださっていることが多くて、やっぱりその昔その一途だった自分というか、まっすぐ進んでた自分をすごく思い出すようで、共感してもらえることが多かったです。
And as well as when this film was released in Japan, as well as younger people watching it and enjoying itI've also found that people of the older generation, men and women older than myself, have really enjoyed it because it reminds them of themselves when they were young and single-minded.
それで、話は変わって、自分がこう大学を進学するときに、自分が何をしたいのかっていうのを見つめる期間みたいなものがあって、映画の勉強、まあ、映画を作ってみたいなと思って大学を選びました。その作品のきっかけになっているのは、ターミネーター2だと思います。
In my own case, there was a time when I was preparing to go to university where I was thinking about what I wanted to do. And I chose to study film, at university. And the starting point for that was Terminator 2.
What was it about that film that impressed you so much? I mean, I love that film. It's one of my favorites.
何に惹かれたんですか、ターミネーター2。大好きですけど、ちなみに。
当時の自分には、あの映画がどうやって作られているのかっていうのが全然見ててもわからなくて、まあ、面白くて夢中だったっていうのもあると思うんですけど、特にそのどうやって作ったのかっていうのがすごく気になりました。で、メイキング映像とかも探してみて、自分が見てた映画が裏側ではこうなっていたんだとか、その制作過程みたいなものを見てすごく興味、映画そのものよりもさらにこう深まって面白く感じたっていうのが、きっかけだと思います。
I think it was because I couldn't fathom how it had been made. I mean, it was a great film and I loved it, but I started thinking, how did they make this?And I looked around and found a making of. Mm-hmm. And that was even more interesting in a way, now that I could see how they'd actually gone about making this. And maybe that's how it started.
それで、まあ、大学では実写を勉強するために大学に入ったんですけど、まあ、大学の授業で、アニメーションに出会って、で、アニメーションももう何もないところから影も形もないところからこう紙と鉛筆でね手で描いて動きを作っていくっていう面白さに興味が湧いて、途中からアニメーションの方向に転向しました。
So I went to university to study live action film. And then somewhere along the way I encountered animation. And this was fascinating, the fact that you could create something from nothing. Absolutely nothing, no form, no light, no shadow, and just with a pencil and paper, you could create something. And so I ended up switching to that.
I find it very funny that you say the older generation feel nostalgic watching the film, because I guess that means I'm part of the older generation now. It made me feel very nostalgic for the time when I moved to London, the huge city of the country, which was full of such possibility but was so overwhelming.I think that's what this film captures as well, a place of possibility, but a place that's overwhelming as Tokyo is. Mm. Did you feel that way when you moved to Tokyo for university?
No. 自分より年上のおじいさんばあさんたちがノスタルジアを感じたっていうことですけど、僕も感じましたね。というのは、じいさん、なんか僕は。ロンドンに来た時思い出して、もう可能性が無限にあって、でもちょっとこう圧倒されそうな場所が、まあ、ロンドンにあって、まあ、この映画の中ではそれ感じるんですけれども、監督も東京に来られた時はそんな感じだったんですか？
僕は出身が、埼玉県という場所で、東京にはすぐ出れる場所だったので東京に出てくるっていう気持ちはなかったんですけど、多くの、日本に住む若者は、地元で生まれてから結構東京に上京するっていう機会が多くて、そういう気持ちは想像することができますし、実際にそういう声もものすごく多いです。東京に来た自分を思い出すっていうか、初心に帰るっていうんですかね。
Well, I come from Saitama, which isn't that far from Tokyo, so it wasn't a big deal really coming to Tokyo. But a lot of Japanese young people do have the opportunity to come from, you know, far reaches of the country to Tokyo. So it's easy to imagine that they would feel that way. And a lot of people have told me as well that's resonated with them.
To go back to animation, when you said that you saw this full potential of creating something out of nothing, were there any films that you were watching at the time or series that showed you the potential of animation that you can still remember?
アニメと出会って、ゼロから作るっていうことを初めて知った時は、このアニメ映画とかこのアニメシリーズとかを見て、アニメのポテンシャルに気づいたっていうのがありました。
もともとその大学で出会ったアニメーションっていうのは、アート系のアニメーションがすごく多くて、自分が通ってた大学だと、放映しているテレビアニメーションとか映画を見るというよりは、大学でしか見れないアニメーションであったりとか、昔の人が作った古いアートアニメーションを学ぶことが多かったです。
At university, a lot of the animation that we watched was art animation, so it wasn't, they weren't showing us things that we could see on TV or in the cinema. It was things that we would only get the opportunity to see at university.
Do you remember anything in particular? Because we love all types of animation on this podcast.
アニメーション何でも好きですけど、特に覚えてるのありますか？
アートアニメーションで、ユーリ・ノルシュテインとか。
ノルシュテイン、yeah. Oh, yeah.Incredible work. Of course, the name of the podcast is Ghibli Attack, and it's always a bit embarrassing, but we do love asking people working animation about their relationship with the films of Studio Ghibli. Were you watching those films at the time? Did you have any relationship with them at all? Were you inspired by them?
せっかくジブリオテックというポッドキャストでちょっと恥ずかしいんですけど、ジブリとの関係についてもせっかくなんで聞くようにしていまして、ジブリの映画とか見たりしてましたか？
はい、日本人で見てない人ほとんどいないんじゃないですかね。見てます、もちろん。
I think most Japanese people have watched Ghibli films, so yeah, of course, I've seen them.
で、風の谷のナウシカすごい好きで、特に原作が好きなんですけれども、映像化されないかなってずっと思ってます。漫画
I am particularly fond of Nausicaa. I loved the manga and I was always hoping that it would be made into an anime.
なんか映画は漫画の1巻分ぐらいしかなくて、漫画は全7巻あるんですけど、本当にその要素の一部を映画にしたに過ぎないのにもったいないなって思ってます。
But the manga is, I think, seven volumes long, and the film is just the one volume's worth. So I think it's a bit of a shame that there's only one volume that's been made into a film.
Purely by chance, I was watching Terror in Resonance very recently. Before I knew I was even speaking to you, and of course you worked on that series. Do you have any memories of working on that series and particularly working with Shinichiro Watanabe?
残響のテロールをたまたまこの取材をすることになる前にたまたま最近見たんですけど、その思い出とかありますか？渡辺さんと一緒に。
あの作品では、助監督を務めていて、で渡辺さんは当時、ボンズの方でも監督作品を同時に持たれていて、すごく忙しい状態だったので、かなりこう現場に助監督として入ったんですけれども、作業量はかなり多くて、すごくたくさんの仕事をやらせてもらえたなって思ってます。
So I was assistant director, and Watanabe-san was working on another project at the same time at Bones. So he was really busy. So I remember that I was also really busy. I got to do a lot on that.
そこで初めて仕事したんですけど、自分の想像だと渡辺さんかなりこう怖い人なイメージがあったんですけど、実際はかなり優しくて、 人はこう見た目ではね判断しちゃいけないなってすごく思いました。
That was the first time I'd worked with him, and I'd always had this image of him as being quite scary, but turned out he was really nice. So I was reminded that you mustn't judge a book by its cover.
Absolutely, yes. I think over here fans have the picture of him with always with sunglasses on, very cool, unapproachable. But what? How does he work? Obviously, he was very busy when you were working with him. But how does he approach a project?
そうですね、確かに写真で見るともうサングラスかけててクールでもう怖い感じですけど、あの彼のこう仕事の仕方はどうなんですか？
結構監督にもいろいろ言って、かなりこう何が何でも全部自分で、やりたいっていう監督もいますし、こう一緒に関わってるスタッフの力を引き出すタイプの、監督さんもいるんですけど、渡辺さんは後者で、スタッフの良さであったりとかコミュニケーションして、スタッフの価値のある仕事を増やそうとしたり、なんていうか独りよがりじゃない監督でした。
There are different types of directors. There are those who want to do everything themselves, and there are those who want to bring the best, get the best out of their team. And Watanabe-san is the latter. He likes to make the most of the strengths of his team members and communicate and see the value in everybody.
And so what type of director are you? Are you that latter type as well?
監督も後者ですか？
はい、そうです。
Yes.
Something that you mentioned about music is it being this alive performance with the piece of music and the audience being almost in conversation and communication. Of course, we're going to watch the film with an audience tonight, and I wondered what's it been like watching your films on the big screen with audiences. How do you find that experience?
音楽のライブもこうパフォーマーとオーディエンスの対話みたいなものかと思うんですが、映画も同じく、映画とお客さんのこう対話でもあるかと思うんですが、今日はあのこのロンドンで上映しますが、監督今までオーディエンスと一緒にご覧になった時はどんな体験ですか？
やっぱり初めはですね、すごく緊張することが多いんですけれども、自分の作った映画がどういうふうにお客さんに受け入れてもらえるかっていうのは、特に気になるし、一緒にいることが怖いと思う時もあります。ただ、何度かそういった経験をさせてもらって、やっぱりなんていうんですかね、自分の作ったものが誰かの心に残って響いていくっていうのはすごくいい経験だし、それをこう一緒に共有することができるのは非常に嬉しいことですね。
When I first started watching the film with audiences, I was really nervous. I didn't know how it was going to go down. It was quite nerve-wracking the first few times. But once I'd experienced that for a few times, I started really enjoying how the film would affect people and stay with them. And I was able to start enjoying the experience of sharing that with them.
And maybe this is another old nostalgic question, but it's very easy when you're young to feel passionate, but then it's even harder to stay passionate as we get older. How do you find inspiration nowadays? Is it from watching films, animation, live action? How do you find inspiration?
またパッションとかの話に戻りますが、若い人としては、まあ、パッションは割と湧きやすいかと思いますが、それをずっと保っていくのがなかなか難しいと思いますが、監督はどうされてますか？今のインスピレーションはどういうところから来ますか？実写映画、アニメ、何でしょう？
特にそういう意味だとすごく共感できるんですけど、僕は監督を引き受けるときに、何か次に新しいチャレンジができるんじゃないかっていうのを、常に求めて、監督作業をしてて、チャレンジっていう意味で言うと、なんかこう終わりがないなって思う時があります。そのどんな作品をやってもまた次新しい作品やるときに永遠にチャレンジする課題みたいなものが生まれてきてしまい、なんかそこのジレンマに陥ってるっていうことはよくあります。ジレンマというか苦しみっていうんですかね、いくらやっても終わらないみたいな。
Yeah, I can empathize with that. What I look for in new projects is always a new challenge. Although on the other hand, I, I find that there's no end to new challenges. There's always something new. So that's a bit of a dilemma.
And to finish with, this is a question we ask all our guests. Our podcast started with a recommendation. My friend Jake, who I host the podcast with, had never seen any films by Studio Ghibli, and that's where this podcast came from. I made him watch all of their films. And so we like to ask our guests, if you were to recommend one filmmaker or studio whose body of work we should watch, who would you recommend? It could be animation or live action or anything.
必ずこのポッドキャストのゲストさんに聞くようにしてますが、おすすめ。このポッドキャストが始まったのも、ジェイクという友達、一緒にポッドキャストやってる友達がいるんですけど、彼はジブリ一作も作品も見てなくて、ぜひ見てくださいって言って、見ても全部見せて、このポッドキャスト始めたんですけど、必ず聞くのは、一人の監督、またはフィルムメーカー、または一つのスタジオの作品をぜひ見てくださいっていうのも。っていうのがあれば教えてください。アニメでも自社でも。
これ自分の作品でもいいんですか？
Can I choose my own work?
Oh, of course, absolutely. I mean, it's, if that's almost very much like die in the film.
そうですね。じゃあ自分が初めてそのなんていうか原作を持って作品を作った作品があるんですけど。デスピリアドという作品とデスパレードという作品が初めて自分でオリジナルで作った作品なんで見たことがない人がいたらそれをぜひ見てほしいです。
うん、I would really like people to watch Death Billiard and Death Parade, which are the first two projects that I worked on that weren't based on IP.
Okay.Absolutely, we'll go back and share that with our audience. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus...Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.